amazing to think that the tradition has given us, you know, two forms of this prayer. It may be that the Holy Spirit moving taught the disciples to expand the prayer. This one retroverts into Aramaic very easily. It's a little Aramaic poem, actually. But the purpose of the teaching us this, you see, is to change our hearts. Teach us to pray, Lord. All right. This is how you pray. The first thing you say is, Father. That's how you pray. That's the first thing you say. Not only with your lips, but with your heart. That's the first thing you say, Father. Remember, I've quoted this quite a few times now. 2564, whatever the number is in the Catechism. Christian prayer is a covenant relationship between God and man. It is the work of both God and man. The Holy Spirit and ourselves. Prayer is the work of God in us. Here, you see, take these words, let them settle into the real depth of your heart, yield to the work of the Holy Spirit, and say, Father. Father. You know, somebody came across St. Therese sitting there, and she was crocheting or something, and tears were streaming down her face. And they said, what's wrong? She said, nothing wrong. I just started the Our Father. And as soon as I said Father, I was overwhelmed with the sense of what it means to call Almighty God Father, and to know His tenderness and His love and His care and His mercy and for the whole world. So our Lord's very first words then, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. How many times in Ezekiel does God promise, I'm going to sanctify my name. I will show my mercy. I will bring you back from exile. I will glorify my name. People will see what I can do to save the people with whom I made a covenant. I will hallow my name. And so here we have, you know, hallowed be your name. Or, because very often things are in the passive in a Semitic language, which would be in the active in our language, hallow your name. Show yourself. We need you. Restore your church. Make it beautiful, holy. Make it shine. Make it have the eyes of Christ. So that people looking at us will see the greatness of God and not be so terrified. And so seeking after the wrong things. Hallow your name. Reveal yourself. That's why I'm saying Mass for the church today. You know, we have had in every generation people in whom God has been hallowing His name, right? We've had many in our own lifetime, many in whom God is hallowing His name. And they give hope to the whole world. And the Lord is saying, you know, when you pray, pray for that, to have it happen in you. Your kingdom come. The word that our Lord used there, maguta, doesn't mean kingdom like Monaco, you know, sort of here's the kingdom, there's the border. How can that come? No, it means the rule of God. And the rule of God establishes an atmosphere, a reign, a place. See, the kingdom of God is that reality, that place, if you will, spiritual place, where the reality and mercy of God are acknowledged and experienced. That's the kingdom. So we're praying, extend that power, your rule over our lives, Lord, over the church. You know, let your kingdom come. Have mercy on us. My goodness, do we need it. Just think right now, after 2 millennia, that they can still be doing what they're doing in Sudan and elsewhere. We don't know God as Father. If we did, A, we'd be very merciful, and B, we'd be on fire to preach the gospel. Give us each day our daily bread. Simple, basic. Here's God Himself in humanity, in Jesus Christ, teaching us. Now, when you pray, you ask God for what you need. You need bread, ask for it. Well, no, I mean, I wouldn't bother God with that. I can handle that. Don't kid yourself. The next breath you take is a gift. Give us each day our daily bread. Now you can see the other text, even this one. See, if you put it back in Aramaic, you see you have this idea that it's a lacham, yomadein. Keep giving us what we need, because remember, bread doesn't mean for them something wrapped up in cellophane at the grocery store. It means the very thing we live by. The kids in the inner city, you know, call money bread. Got any bread? They don't mean, yeah, I got a loaf right here. No, they want. See, it's what you live by. We live by bread. And that's why our Lord took bread and said, "This is my body." Forgive us our sins. That's our greatest need. We ask to God come and manifest His name, that He exercise His rule over us, guide us, protect us, keep us, sustain us. Forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us. You see, the interesting thing in this language our Lord spoke is that the word for sin and the word for debt are the same. Hope. When we sin, we're in debt, and there is no way we can get out of it except that God condones the debt. Notice how many of our Lord's parables. You know, a man had two men who owed money to him, one owed $10,000 and one owed $5,000 or something. And he forgave them both. Well, which one owed and loved him more? Remember there was that parable of our Lord? So many of this thing, because in that language, debt, and nobody missed the point. You know, we don't either, but see, because forgive us, for we have forgiven everybody, Lord. There's nobody for whom I have any rancor or desire for revenge or anger or judgment in my whole heart. So that's how I know I'm forgiven. The old monks used to pray that they would know that they were forgiven. Well, figure. They're out there in the desert eating potatoes every other day, saying the whole Psalter every day. And they're worrying about being forgiven. Now, how did they know they were forgiven? When in their heart there was no rancor against anybody. Ah, now I know I'm forgiven. That's a work of the Holy Spirit to do that, to change us so that there is nothing in our heart like that. And we should pray, that's what our Lord says, you know, pray every day for that. Then in this text, because it's translated, you know, bring us not to the pirasmos, bring us not to the temptation. It means, you know, in one way the little temptation, but it means this the final test. And our Lord sees that with the clarity of his mind. And he says, pray. Pray that you not be brought to that final test. Or if you are, as it goes on in the other Our Father, save us from the evil one. It's a serious business, living life. It's a serious business. Our decisions, and we're pushed around by everything, fear and anger and pleasure and, who we are for eternity is determined by what we're doing right now. It's pretty serious business, this living life, But you see, it's Jesus who taught us this. So that we would be ready. So that every day we could say, well now, am I forgiving everybody? Am I really relying on God the Father? Am I peaceful in the face of what may come? Or am I nervous and frightened? And you see? I'm sure you know, when so many great saints and mystics and theologians have commented on this prayer. St. Teresa of Avila has a commentary on this prayer. That we've only started. You want to know this prayer? You say, Jesus, let me into your heart. And from there, I'll pray this.